Today's Shir Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Daf Kuf Chof Vov Omid Beis, and we're finishing off Simin Sadi Beis, and we're up to Sif Tes, where the Mechaber writes, Harokek, if somebody has the need to spit in shul, Lo Yispalel Ad Sheyisha Arba Amos, he should not spit and then daven right away, but after he spit, he should wait the distance that it takes a person to walk, Arba Amos, 6 to 8 feet, which again we said is a second or two. Hamispalel, and if you're davening, Lo Yorok Ad Sheyisha Arba Amos, if you're done with the davening, you shouldn't spit right away, unless it's impossible to prevent this, but you should wait, again, the distance it takes to walk Arba Amos, a few seconds, until you go and spit. V'davka Lertzono, here we're talking about when you're spitting what's called Lertzono, which the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Lamedalad brings, Pirush Mishirokik Machmas Til. You have some sort of an exertion that causes you to have a buildup of saliva in your mouth, and therefore you have the desire or need to go and spit. Avalim Nizdamin Lerok, but if it just so happens, no fault of your own, that you have saliva in your mouth, then it would be permissible, it would be mutter. The Ramah adds, the Ayin Lekamen Simin Sadi Zayin, which the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Lamed Hey writes, wrote Saloma Delefamim Mutter Af Betoch HaTfilah. This would be permissible even during the middle of the Shemone Esrei. And Dirsha footnote number 37, he brings down from over there, Shibofen Shemit Starmizet, this is when it's bothering a person, Umatrido Betfiloso, and he can't let you concentrate properly in the Tfilah because of the saliva that you have in your mouth, then it would be mutter, it would be permissible. I should point out that in the olden days, there used to be spittoons in shul, and it was much more common for people to go about spitting in shul. Today, the societal mores have changed, and people rarely, very rarely ever have the need to spit in shul, so this halacha lemaisa almost never occurs that a person would have the desire and need to go and spit in shul. If he does so, the farshim bring down, he'd be permitted to, and many people would spit into a tissue, or into their beged, or some sort of a garment in some way, it wouldn't be spitting on the floor. Sif Yud, and this is the final Sif, and the Mechaber writes, Tov Litein Tztaka Kodem Tfilah. Very important idea. One should give Tztaka preferably before one davens. The Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Lamed Vav explains, the Sif, this is based upon the Pasuk, Ani B'tzedek Echazeh Panecha. I with Tzedek will see your face. In other words, we should give Tztaka, or as we'll see, some of the Farshim bring down, if there's nobody to give Tztaka to, doing some act of Chesed also fulfills this obligation. B'tzedek Echazeh Panecha. With some sort of Tzedek, I will see your face. The Mishnah Berurah continues, and he writes, Ubeizik Hilos Kidoshos, many very holy shuls, they have the custom Niskan Haminog Litin Stoka Kishamagiel Apostle, found in the Psuk Zimra Vayvar David from Divrei Yamim, where it says, Aosha Vyakova Milufonecha Vyatomashel Bakol. The issue footnote 39 brings down that we've already learned previously that the Arizal, when he would say this, would stand up and he'd give Tztaka. I saw once an explanation that this is one of the reasons why people stand when we say Vayivarech David, because people are doing a mitzvah, and the custom is, based upon a mitzvah and bikurim, that people would stand up when the people would bring the bikurim. So you stand in front of somebody doing a mitzvah. You stand when they bring the baby in, when they do a bris milah. You don't stand when the baby leaves, you stand when the baby comes in, because he's about to do the mitzvah. So tovia, people about to do the mitzvah tztaka, that's one of the reasons why we stand for this tefillah of Vayivarech David. The issue footnote number 38 brings down, when there is no ani over there, the El Yeraba says, you should still separate money, and even if there is no poor person in the shul right then and there, you can separate that and give it to an ani when you meet up with an ani later on. Likewise, Rosh Shlomo Zalman would say, Lav Davka is it giving money in staka, but likewise giving a loan to somebody, or even doing a Maisa Chesed, will also fill this obligation of ani betzedek echazeh ponecho. Mr. Brewer continues and he writes, V'yesh b'kol m'shenoagin l'kabit stoka b'eis kriyas haTorah. He says there are some shuls that have the custom that they collect stoka during the reading of the leini. The Rosh Shlomo Kogan, and this is improper, because the mevatlan ayideizeh milishmo kriyas haTorah, because people then don't listen to the Torah reading and they don't answer v'anias baruch hu es Hashem, etc. v'chulei at the right time. So therefore, this is an improper minhag. The issue footnote number 40 brings down, the same thing applies really in Chazaras HaShatz, where we'll learn later on in Simon Tov Kuf Samach Vav, the Chayin Hu B'Kaf HaChayim, and the Chav HaChayim brings down there as well, Shalol LaHachruz Losei Tztaka, you don't make an announcement during the Chazaras HaShatz to give Tztaka, and ideally V'Gam Shalol LaOsva Oz, and not to collect it then. However, you go look at many shuls, they do collect tztaka during that period in time. So my guess is that Darin Likavskos, in trying to find a tzad heta for this, it's the fact that if somebody's walking around the pushka and you have your money out already and you're just putting it into the pushka, Mastama person can concentrate fully on the Chazaras HaShatz and it doesn't disturb him. However, it would appear that if you can concentrate and give the tztaka at the same time, and certainly the person walking around has to try to concentrate on the Chazaras HaShatz, if that's not able to be done, then it would be better not to collect the tztaka during the Chazaras HaShatz, and in some places they have the minhag that they collect it later on in the davening, or they just have the pushka out and people go up during Vayivarech David and they put the tztaka in at that point. Indeed, Reb Chaim Kanievsky brings down that you're not obligated to get stuck at this point because you're osek b'mitzvah and you're patur b'mitzvah. However, he brings down in the Isha Yisrael, shemrotz elosei tztaka mutar. However, if you do want to give then tztaka, you can. And he says this is true even in the first parsha of Kriyashma. Albeit, the Kav HaChaim specifically says during Kriyashma one shouldn't collect tztaka because we're supposed to be concentrating on what we're saying at that point in time. Bottom line is, the person should really make sure he's concentrating on the davening or the laning or the Chazar Sashats at that point in time, and if giving tztaka will be mafriya him, will disturb him then, he really shouldn't give tztaka at that point in time. But should give it during Vayivarach David or even before the davening starts, anything that will make sure that he davens without being disturbed. That concludes Siman Tzadi Beis, and we go to Siman Tzadi Gimel. Kodim Shiyispalu Tzorech L'Shos. Before a person starts davening, he should meditate for a while, as we'll see, and concentrate on what he's about to do. And the Mechaber starts off in Sif Aleph and writes, Yishe Shoa Achas Kodim Shiyokum L'Spalu Kadei Shiyachavi Libo L'Mokom. This is based upon the Gemara, which talks about in Brachos, the Chasidim or Rishonim, the great individuals would go and wait an hour before they would daven. This hour is not necessarily meant to be a literal hour. However, the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Karton Aleph writes, Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah Huchichu Migmara, the Talmidim of the Rabbeinu Yonah, they wrote, based upon this Gemara in Brachos, even when we normally write an hour, we don't literally mean an hour, we just mean a small period of time. Here, yeah, you should wait 1/12 of the daylight hour time before you go and daven. You should wait that long before you daven to prepare yourself properly for davening. The Mishnah Berurah says most people can't do this. Zel Chasidim. This is for individuals. This is for great individuals who can meditate and concentrate about their davening before they daven an hour. L'shar om, for the rest of us, dai bishol muetes, you should at least pause momentarily. Shisha kol mishiyasa, before you just jump right into the davening, you should think, I'm about to speak to the creator of the entire world. I have to have an understanding of what I'm about to do. Shukidei hiluch shmona tvachim. This should at least take the amount of time that takes you to walk. Shmona Tzvachim, which is like an arm and a half, a very, very, very short amount. But at least to pause and meditate and think for a second. Kemosha Kosev Siman Sadi, so Sif Chaf Ayin Shom. Look over there, which Dirshu footnote number one brings down, that it says there, Shoshoa Kadesh Tishyasi, Daitu Love, at least to calm your thoughts. You're just rushing in from outside. You had difficulty finding a parking spot. It was cold outside. At least wait to start davening to calm your thoughts a little bit, and then you'll be able to daven with Kavana. Because if you daven right away, your mind won't be in the proper mood and proper perspective for a person's daven. In fact, the Aruch HaShulchan brings down that before a person starts davening any tefillah, he should sit silently and think in his heart, L'havin l'met l'fnei mihu meichen atzmo l'spal, who is he standing in front of about to daven? Then the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Seder Hayom. Im yochol l'sakev ad shelo yishar asor v'vesa knesses tov lo. He brings down from the Seder Hayom that if possible, you should try not to leave the shul until there are less than 10 people already in the shul. And the reasoning is brought down in Dirshu footnote number 2. Because as we brought out, the Shechina's presence is more strongly felt when there are 10 people there. If you're the person that causes there no longer to be 10 people there, so then you're, so to say, causing the Shechina's presence to leave. Mishnah Berurah continues, and he says, "Gam ki a yeshiva beves haknesses who mitzvah b'fnei atzma." And he says, "Aye, a person is going to think that maybe he's wasting time by coming in early and meditating or leaving late and making sure he's not the person causing the shechina to leave." So he says, "This is in itself a mitzvah to stay in the shul and think and meditate over there. So don't worry that you might be doing something wrong by following this practice." So again, back to the Mechaber, he said, "Yishar sho'achas kodim shokam l'spalu kadei shi'chav liba l'mokum." The purpose of this is to make sure that you're davening to Hashem and able to concentrate. And likewise, one should wait an hour after tefillah. Again, this is based upon the Gemara in Brachos. That's what the Chasidim or Rishonim used to do. The reasoning here is, if you're rushing out of shul, it looks like it was a burden for you to be in shul, and therefore, by leaving very slowly, you're showing and demonstrating that you wish you could stay longer. We have many examples of this. We take off our tefillin with our left hand to show our reluctance to take off our tefillin. We start the three steps back from the Shemoneh Esrei at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei with our left foot to show our reluctance to leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu, etc. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Beis writes, Harizal hoyo mispalu mitoch hasidur. He says the Arizal would always daven from a sidur in order to have better kavana. Kadesh yichavin ma'od. Gam shelo lahavliya nakuda, and likewise as well, so he wouldn't swallow up a word or even a vowel. Bakol fi masha margish od benafsho. However, this is dependent upon the person. Some people daven better without a sidur, with their eyes closed, as we'll see in a second, and others daven better with a sidur. Every person should know for himself which way he will daven best. The issue footnote number 3 brings down a beautiful custom, which I've seen myself in many gedolim, that they will go, and while the chazan is saying the chazar sashats, they will follow inside in the sitter. And this is brought down in the name of the shalom, that this is a very good idea. This way they concentrate on every single word of the Chazaras HaShatz like what we're supposed to. Tisha footnote number 4 brings down the importance of davening from a sitter, especially for the Chazan, and it brings a remez to this idea from based upon the Vilna Gaon, who said from Megillas Esther, that when you go to the king, you should always have the sefer with you. In other words, daven from a sitter, a beautiful allusion. And in this way, you'll be able to go and make sure you follow the rest of the pasuk, which says, Yoshuv machashav toha ra'ah, you'll have any bad thoughts in your mind to be able to concentrate properly on the davening. The issue footnote number 5 brings down that there are those who suggest that one should daven always with their eyes closed, and the bottom line is every person should see for himself which way he can daven best, and that's the way he should. He brings down that the Arizal on Shabbos would be davka, also always make sure to daven from a sitter. I'm not sure why, but the Arizal says she'ein l'spalo be'inayim atzumos on Shabbos. One should not daven with their eyes closed on Shabbos. Sif Beis, the Mechaber writes, lo yamod l'spalo el be'eimo v'yachno. A person shouldn't ever daven except with a sense of awe and subjugation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And certainly, lo mitoch schok v'kalas rosh, not in a lightheaded way and from a joking fashion, utvarim b'teilim, or from silly things, lo mitoch kas, and certainly not from anger. Ela mitoch simcha, a person should try to daven with a happy heart. Kigol, divrei tanchum mishal Torah, for example, after learning Torah, somuch l'yulas mitzrayim, o somuch l'tila l'dovid, or having said words related to Gulas Mitzrayim, or the Ashrei, which is one of the ways we start our Tfilas Mincha, because of the words Ritzon Yerov Yaseh Shomer Hashem Es Kol Havav. If we do Hashem's will, then we will be protected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Gimel writes, the reason why we have to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with awe and trepidation is because the Pasuk says, Shneamar Ivdu Es Hashem Biira, which means, Hainu HaTfilo Shiyelonu B'Mokom Avodah, the Tfilo which takes the place of the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, Asu Aso Biira, one should do it with fear and awe. Sivkot and Dalit, Lo Mitoch, and certainly not from Kalis Rosh, Lo Soromar, the Mitzvah and Amucho, Shein Omdim Elo Mitoch Eim HaVachnoa, the ideal way is to do it with awe and trepidation. If you can't do that, Elokiva Dein Kolecho, Yochol, Yizor, Lahachlis, Beliba, Vachnoa, V'Eima, if you can't get yourself into that highest level of preparation for the davening, at least, Akol Potim, Lo Yispala Mitoch Schok, don't do it from a joking point of view, Elo Mitoch Sim Shishol Mitzvah, at least do it from some sort of mitzvah, from learning, or as Dirshu footnote number 6 brings down, based upon the Sefer Chassidim, that one shouldn't do it from an, oh, I have to go daven point of view, I'm so tired, I can't believe I have to go daven, that's totally the wrong attitude before davening. A person should try to do it with the simcha and excitement, if he can't do it with the awe and trepidation, realizing he's standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and is asking for all of his basic needs. The Mechaber writes, likewise, a person shouldn't go and daven right after he's judged a case or had a in-depth discussion about a halacha. Why? Because the person's going to still be immersed in that thought, in that difficult sugya, and he's not going to be able to concentrate properly on the davening. Ella mitoch halacha psucha. However, you are allowed to go and daven right after you learn some straightforward, exact halacha. So there's certainly nothing wrong, and it's highly, highly recommended that a person learn before davening, and today we even aren't careful about what we learn before davening because our davening is not normally on such a high level that we're going to be so disturbed by even thinking about a difficult halacha that we just discussed. So l'maisa, this is a little bit like the concept that a chosin today does daven marav on the night of his chasana because it would be almost arrogant to say that I can't daven now because I'm so immersed in the mitzvah of getting married that it's going to take away my kavana. That implies that all the other nights your kavana in Shema is so great that tonight it's going to be ruined. So too over here, a person's kavan and davening is so great that he's going to be disturbed by halacha is a little bit of an arrogant type of a posture. The Ramah adds, Hagav, Ha'inu nami k'mo mitoch simcha. Learning is like a form of simcha, ki pikudi Hashem yishor misam chileh, because halachas of Hashem make a person happy. Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Hei writes, She'ein bo iyun v'lo machlokes. A halacha psuka doesn't have a controversy to it and it doesn't require in-depth analysis. Kadesh lo yitarit ayedzeh betfilah, so he shouldn't be disturbed in his davening, still thinking about the halacha. But then the Mishnah Berurah brings down, Mikol mokum, imosap, bepapule halacha. If somebody did do and involved sugya, v'yisilo atzibu l'spala, and then the tzibur is davening, yispali mo, he certainly is allowed to daven with them, or befrat akshav, and especially nowadays, shei mechavim kol kach betfilah. Nobody davens, unfortunately, to our great distress with the tremendous kavanah it's necessary, and therefore v'lo yisiru el l'chatchila, this whole halacha is only for those individuals that are on such a high madrega. Shelo yasok b'pilpul, called the matfila, they shouldn't learn an in-depth sugya before the davening because they're going to still be thinking about it during the davening. But for the vast, vast majority of people, there's nothing wrong with this nowadays, as I just pointed out before. Sif Dalid. The Mechaber writes, Ha'osek b'tzorchei tzibur, ka'osek b'torah domi. If somebody is involved with communal needs, that's also like he's learning Torah beforehand. Pirush, what does this mean? Linyan lamo mitochol espalo. That's a good idea for a person to go and go from doing a communal need to davening. That also is like pikudi Hashem yisharim misam chilev. Shigamzu simchi, this is also a great simcha for the person, and it's a perfect preamble for the davening, so to say, that he's osek b'tzorchei tzibur. Others learn this, however, differently, and they say, v'yesh mefarshim, that this means over here, d'hainu le'inyan de'enu tzorech livsok l'spalo. This means that if a person is involved in communal matters, then he's actually potter and exempt from davening for the tzibur, as we'll see, as long as there's nobody else that can take care of those communal matters, and according to some, as long as he won't miss the tefillah. Let's look at this more closely in the Mishnah Berurah. Sivkot involved, the Mishnah Berurah writes, u'bovad she'ei dome l'halocha p'suka, the communal need that he's involved in, it shouldn't be so involved and so difficult that it's going to distract his attention from his davening as well. Shelo yehei ba dover shotir, there should be something that will disturb the davening. Then the Mishnah Berurah continues, mikol makom ein levato tilas asiba mishum zeh. Even though you're involved in some sort of communal matter, you shouldn't go and miss tefillah b'tzibur because of this. The kol shekein in misori shavar hazman derashor l'spal. And certainly, if you're afraid you're going to miss this man of tefillah, then you're certainly allowed to stop what you're doing and go and daven. But then the Mishnah Berurah comments on the Mechaber's alternative explanation, that this means that you don't have to stop davening because you're osek b'tzibur, and he paskins in Sivkot and Zayin, v'chein pasku achronim. This is in fact halacha. If somebody's involved with communal work, as we'll see, that can't be done by somebody else, as we'll see in the next Mishnah Berurah, then you don't in fact daven and you're potter from davening. And that's what he says in Sivkot and Ches, afilum yavers mantfila, even if you miss this mantfila, im ein shom mishi yishtadil, elohu, if there is nobody else that can take care of this pressing communal need, so then you are exempt from tfila. And he says this is also discussed earlier in Siman Ayin. And indeed, in this situation, if you miss Shachris because of this, you don't have an obligation to daven Mincha twice, because of making up for Shachris, because Shekivan Shemeshas Chavoso, you're potter mimena, since you were in fact potter from davening Shachris at that point in time, so then you don't have an obligation in making up a Tashlumim, mimena min hadin, ain't tzorich l'tashlumim klal. You don't have to go do this. Dear Shah, footnote number 11 brings down and reminds us what we had talked about previously, that if the Zman for the Tefillah had already started before your communal involvement began, and then your communal involvement began, then you were already obligated in this tefillah, and you would have to make up a tefillah's tashlumin. And others suggest, even in general, it's a good idea for the person to make up this tefillah with a tefillah's tashlumin, but he should do it as a tefillah's nedava, in case he wasn't obligated. The issue footnote number 8 brings down if a doctor or a nurse who is necessary to take care of a sick patient, so Shlomo Zalman brings down, if the chola needs you, if the sick person needs you right now, then you're actually potter from Kriyas Shema and Tefillah, obviously, to take care of that sick person's needs. And he says you shouldn't in that situation feel bad, and you shouldn't interrupt because you're not obligated to daven in that situation. However, if you do have time, you certainly should try to daven if the chola's needs will still be able to be taken care of. The issue footnote number 9 brings down the reason behind this is because you're osek b'mitzvah, and a person's osek b'mitzvah is potter min ha-mitzvah. He brings down this would be true even if you're dealing with the communal needs to save money for the tzibur. He brings down from the Bir Halacha, who writes, afim kavonaso gam listachem yizeh, and even if you're doing this to save them money, and at the same time you're getting paid to do this, as long as you have the desire to do this for the tzibur, you're allowed to even get paid for it, and you could be potter in this situation because of osik mitzvah, potter min mitzvah. He left with a tzarech ian, if you're just solely doing it for money and you're not doing it all for the benefit of the tzibur, whether you'd still be allowed to do this is this osik mitzvah, potter min mitzvah. He also brings down that if you needed a moment or two to rest while you're doing the needs of the community, taking care of the communal needs, that is also called still osek b'mitzvah, and you don't have to daven at that moment that you're taking a break for a second to rest because you're still called osek b'mitzvah at that point in time too. Before we conclude, Halacha Berurah brings down a couple of other interesting points. He says that that period of time when you're meditating before the davening or thinking about the davening before you start davening, a person should do that while he's sitting down and not while he's standing up. Finally, he brings down a minhag, brought down the name of the Arizal. Kishemagia levayivaruch David, when he would reach vayivaruch David, when he would say the words v'atom moshel bakol, he would give 3 prutos to tztaka. And v'yitain tchilo shte prutos, he first would give 2 prutos, and afterwards he would give the third, again, based upon Kabbalistic reasons. That concludes today's shir.